This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Big Blue Kitten's got a 2.5-length lead. Slumber, Twilight Eclipse on the inside are coming. Big Blue Kitten, Slumber, Twilight Eclipse. Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, VetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, and Washington Hay.
Outward-bound Nyquist, swipe at the rail. Swipe is coming fast. Nyquist calls on all his class. They hit and hit for the wire. Nyquist was all hot.
American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Another five-star edition of the Equine Forum on tap for you here today, and happy to have you with us. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's the Baron and the Pontiff, live from Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky, where we welcome the 32nd running of the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup to the menu for this afternoon's program. We'll have that coverage coming up for you 5 o'clock Eastern time, so make sure you mark that one down. It is a gorgeous morning here as the sun continues to rise over the bluegrass. Temperatures in the mid-50s. We're on our way to the mid-60s, maybe even a little bit warmer than that this afternoon. No rain in the forecast, which is welcome news to those racegoers who made the pilgrimage to Keeneland last weekend. It is going to be simply spectacular, fast main track, and a firm turf course for that running of the QE2. Pontiff, buenos dias, my friend.
Yeah, buenos dias. Beautiful day here in the bluegrass. The sun coming up and the horses training and the smell of sausage downstairs. Very cool.
Breakfast with the Works taking place as they do every Saturday here at Keeneland. People have a chance to come out and enjoy a nice buffet and get a chance to watch so many of the horses that are out here training. Some of those horses going to be making their way to the Breeders' Cup in just 20 days, 7 hours, and 27 minutes.
Yeah, well, actually, it'll start the day before, so we're actually inside of that
right
for the Friday races.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting. It's a great time to be in the bluegrass, great time to be at Keeneland. Lots of anticipation for these races. There's a buzz in town, people talking about the Breeders' Cup, and there's starting to filter in here, just trickle in some of the people. I noticed this morning we had a few out-of-town clockers in the press box that had been absent up until today. So they're starting to move around a little bit, get a little bit more serious. You know, it's all been really serious since the meet opened with the win-and-you're-in races and all of that. We had 16 win-and-you're-in races last weekend, 13 in the United States, 3 in Europe, and so it's been serious, but now it's like tighten the screws time, and we'll be watching Works and getting ready for the big days.
Yeah, you and I have been kind of hitting it hard this week, too, and we said this is our prep for the Breeders' Cup because, look, you look ahead to 3 weeks from, well, now 2 weeks from this week, and you're going to have 20 hours of coverage coming your way on the Horse Racing Radio Network, which begins the Tuesday morning prior to the Breeders' Cup when we kick off 4 consecutive Breeders' Cup countdown shows, which are presented by the Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's. Those will take place Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning of Breeders' Cup week. They'll air from 8 to 10 Eastern time. We'll have interviews with owners, trainers, jockeys, handicappers, any angle that we can bring your way to get you ready for the Breeders' Cup. You'll want to make sure you're dialed into those shows. Then we come back on Friday and Saturday afternoon with our exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage, which is presented by our friends at Cal Density. Every single Breeders' Cup race here on the network. So when you and I filled in for our friend the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who was down with a bout of laryngitis and tonsillitis this past week, we filled in on the Express Bet shows that we do, the Express Bet radio, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We said, okay, that was about an additional 10 hours of talking for us this week, and that's our prep for the Breeders' Cup week.
Yes, I think it was even more than that for me. And I was telling my son Miles this morning on the way in that my left butt cheek was sore from sitting in that chair so long. My voice was sore.
You didn't follow your own advice. You didn't break out the hemorrhoid cushion.
Yeah, that's right. I should have. But I was in the studio yesterday from 8:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. So that's a long, long time. And, you know, I wasn't on the air all that time, but I was working the whole time. I mean, there's a lot of preparation that goes into the shows that we do. You have to handicap, you have to know the players. And, there's the preparation for the shows yesterday, preparation for the shows today. So it was a busy, busy day for me yesterday. And, I went home and had two Manhattans and watched the Cubs. And
I did dip into the Florida Canyon last night.
I would imagine. Yeah, so I went to bed rather early. I excused myself after the Cubs lost and went to bed. So I'm up and at 'em today, and I've got another busy schedule. I had to reschedule my hair appointment, so the Pontiff's a little fuzzy.
With the stylist of the stars,
the stylist,
girl
to the
Angela,
Angela Turner. Yes, I had to reschedule because I wasn't really supposed to work yesterday, but I did, and so I rescheduled for today. So I'm going to come out to the races a little late today. My son and I are going to play a joint pick four, and so I'll be here for the last few.
I'm going to go down the roster of guests that we have coming up here today in just a moment, G. But one thing that I was probably most proud of this morning is the fact that I have finally mastered that damn coffee machine here in the press box. What do they call it? A Flavia or whatever it's called? I had to have one of the ushers here in the press box show me how to use it the other day because I was so baffled. It's almost as confusing as one of those Keurigs, which always seem to throw me for a loop, right? And you know this. I complain all the time when we're at a hotel or we're on the road and we have to use a Keurig, and I can never figure it out. And I'm always perplexed as to what was wrong with the Mr. Coffee maker, where you put the pot in there, and you pull the pot out, and you pour a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
first world problems. I have to deal with a Keurig. I'm sorry.
And they still get me in those hotel rooms.
Yeah. I don't know. I like old school, too.
Call down to the front desk. Can you come help me out with this coffee maker?
Yeah. No, it's I like the pots, but they do everything now, you know, so it's all sanitary and this and that. I've been a long time. I haven't died from a coffee pot yet, so I don't know. It's just
brutal.
Just crazy. But it's not the easiest thing to negotiate. And it was funny, a couple of weeks ago I was in here and I tried to make some coffee, and it said you won't be able to make coffee until you empty the basket. And I didn't know how to do that, but I figured it out. Thank God. I messed around with it a little bit and dumped all the old coffee packets out, and then once it was clear, then I could make my coffee. So I figured it out. So if you need some help, I can help you with that.
Well, we want to extend a special welcome to everybody tuning in throughout North America on Sirius XM channel 93, everybody listening on all of our terrestrial affiliates across the country, and tuning in worldwide at horseracingradio.net with our live streaming. Listeners in more than 160 countries have made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for live racing coverage, and we want to thank you for all of that support and for tuning in to HRRN. Going to have a visit with Josh Christian here in just about 5 or 6 minutes. Josh will join us after the first commercial break. He is the Senior Director of Racing and Nominations with the Breeders' Cup. Josh has spent the majority of his summer overseas and recruiting some of the Europeans to come here for the Breeders' Cup in 3 weeks. So we're going to get an up-close look through Josh's eyes as to some of the top Euros that we might see here and the ones that maybe figure to handle this type of a turf course here at Keeneland. We'll talk to Josh about that. Bill Farish, the man who guides Lane's End, will be with us at 8:35 Eastern. He is, of course, the chairman of the board of Breeders' Cup as well, so we can talk some Breeders' Cup with him. We'll talk about the Lane's End Stallions. That's coming up at 8:35 Eastern. And then the second half of the program, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola. That's one heck of a trifecta. They'll all be with us to handicap some of the big races this weekend, including that QE2 Challenge Cup, which you'll hear live with us this afternoon beginning at 5 Eastern. Poll question for today. If people want to tweet to us or hit us up on social media, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, at HRRN on Twitter. The one horse that you feel cannot lose their respective Breeders' Cup race, whatever horse you feel is the best bet during the two-day Breeders' Cup, can't lose. It could be a 99-1 shot. It could be a 1-9 shot. But we want to hear from you. Let us know your horse can't lose. Mortal Lock, Cinch, Bet the Farm. You got two farms. Bet them both.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I wish Royal Delta was running again.
Or Drusselmore. Yeah. At HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to a break. We're back to visit with Josh Christian right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillips will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillips will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillips retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2.25. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillips. Hashtag Justin's Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillips and Gio Ponti. Standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Envy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away, impressively, to win the Holy Bowl.
Kobe's back. Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Maryland's horse farms make up 25% of our agricultural acreage, with industry assets worth $5.6 billion. With more than 65,000 people involved in the horse industry, we have ties to all sectors of the Maryland economy, providing more than 14,000 jobs and generating $72 million in annual taxes. Maryland's horse industry has a positive impact on land, money, people, and jobs.
Start now with your Kale Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Kale Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at KaleDensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Miss Temple City is there, and Tapestry on the outside, and they're into the stretch, and it's Santiago Atalia, who's the one to catch. Miss Temple City closing in. Tapestry to the outside. Osela, Blonde Me, late on the scene and charging. Into the final furlong, Santiago Atalia has opened up to lead by three. As Blonde Me moves up on the inside of Miss Temple City and Tapestry, it is Santiago Atalia, a five-win day for Joel Rosario. And then it was Blonde Me, followed by Miss Temple City and Tapestry.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 2 Sands Point Stakes. That was September 12th at Belmont, and Santiago Atalia recording her second consecutive victory in that particular race. She will go postward again this afternoon in the Grade 2 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. I should say Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth the Challenge Cup. I totally butchered that. Anyways, she's racing today at Keeneland. How about that?
Yeah, good idea.
And she's going to be a heavy favorite, and rightfully
she's,
so.
She's awesome. She's really performed well. She's done everything right. Nice filly. Very impressive. I hope there's some way that my brother's filly, Miss Temple City, can turn the tables on her. But, you know, that's a bit of a reach. But we'll see what happens. They don't run them on paper.
She will square off with a couple of European-based runners in that race this afternoon. And we're going to see several of those horses coming from across the pond, so to speak, to arrive here at Keeneland over the next couple of weeks as we get you set for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. And Josh Christian has spent a lot of time overseas throughout the summer, and he has done a tremendous job in increasing the awareness of Breeders' Cup and bringing those Europeans here to the United States for this outstanding event. He's the Senior Director of Racing and Nominations with the Breeders' Cup, and he's with us now here on the Equine Forum. Josh, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Everything's well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I've spent a lot of time over there, and apparently, from what I've heard, I sound British now, so apologize my accent.
The girls aren't going to like that.
Well, the ones here might like it more.
Did you play on that Kentucky accent when you were over there? Did they say you had a Kentucky accent?
No. I don't think it's a Kentucky accent. I think it's a little bit more further south. I don't know what happened. I don't know if my brothers sound like me. I don't know if I was fed paint chips or what happened to me when I was younger. I just have a little stronger one. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, look, that Breeders' Cup Challenge Win and You're In series began all the way back on January 10th of this year, and it began in South Africa. And the first winner of the series was a horse by the name of Futura, South African bred. Are we going to see the South Africans make a trip here to Keeneland?
You won't this year. The problem with the South African Challenge races is they're very supportive of the program. It just takes another year for them. So those horses might come to the Breeders' Cup next year because of the quarantine situation of getting out of Africa. It really takes them a year to get out of there into the States. So there's several that are in South Africa that are aiming at the next year. It's a long, long process to get them there.
Well, it is a lot. There's a lot of red tape involved, and people don't realize, you know, going from country to country. I mean, we have enough problems here with medication from state to state, but the quarantine rules are very, very difficult. So it doesn't make your job easy, but it's good that people are aware and thinking forwardly to next year.
No, it's good. And a lot of the horses, just taking South Africa for instance, a lot of those horses are U.S. pedigreed horses, so they fit kind of fast ground and tight tracks. So, I mean, once we can get rid of some of that red tape, you'll see a lot of those horses come over here. And I really think they can kind of compete. And we were very close last year to having Variety Club, if you remember him, that won in Hong Kong and in Dubai. He originally won a Breeders' Cup Challenge race, and his whole goal was to go to Santa Anita to run the mile. Unfortunately, he was injured in the last summer, didn't make it. But, you know, they worked very hard to try to get him there.
Well, Josh, fill us in on some of those top Europeans that we're going to see making the trip across the pond.
Yeah, well, we started the big race in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, there's a good horse named Glen Eagles, who's a four-time Group 1 winner. He's won the English and Irish 2000 Guineas this year, and he won the St. James's Palace Royal Ascot there's a good chance Aiden O'Brien and the Coolmore guys take a big chance with him in the Classic. And on the dirt, he's very, very closely related to Giants Causeway, so they really think he can go on the dirt and that he has the speed. And that's been his goal all summer. Unfortunately, he's been off since June because he can't. He wants fast ground. He hasn't been able to find it in Europe just yet. So there's a possibility he runs next weekend in the QE2 at Ascot as kind of a prep race for the Classic.
Which horse, which European horse, has impressed you most outside of Glen Eagles?
The ARC winner, Golden Horn, and there's a good chance we get him. And he's the English Derby winner. He won the Irish Champions Stakes. He won the Arc de Triomphe last weekend, and it's very, very impressive. You got to remember, historically, since the Breeders' Cup has started, we've only ever had five ARC winners come and run in the Breeders' Cup turf the same year. So it's massive for us to be able to get him. And thankfully, John Gosden has always supported us. And as you know, Frankie Dettori is one of the better jockeys that's ever ride in the Breeders' Cup. So it'd be very exciting for us to get him.
You were talking to me the other day about a horse of Andre Fobb's that seems like she might be coming over here.
Yeah, and that's in the Breeders' Cup Mile. You take the year, you know, the Europeans always do very good in the Mile. Last year they were first, second, and third. So I think you could have, we start 14 in the Mile, you honestly could have half that field to be European, and Andre could send two in there. I thought the filly I really like is the French filly named Esther Rieck. She just won a group one in England. She's won multiple group ones in France, and she's a very, very tough filly.
Talking with Josh Christian, the Senior Director of Racing and Nominations with the Breeders' Cup. Of course, the Breeders' Cup coming to Keeneland for the first time, October 30th and 31st. We will be here as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, ninth consecutive year. We've had the privilege of being able to say that, and Josh, can't tell you how much I appreciate that relationship with Breeders' Cup and really looking forward to that day. You know, over the past week, we've heard Graham Motion come on our shows and tell us that this Keeneland turf course is a bit unique. It's a sand-based turf course. Some horses like it. Some horses hate it. Mark Cassie said the same thing. Aaron Wellman from Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners told us the very same thing yesterday. Is there a turf course in Europe that you would say is somewhat similar to what we'll be racing on here at Keeneland?
Well, the issue in Europe is they're all different. If you go take Goodwood compared to Newmarket compared to Ascot and York, they're all very, very different, and they all take precipitation different. So the same thing, I understand Keeneland is different, but I think every racetrack is a little bit different, and the surfaces are different turn-wise and elevation-wise. You take Keeneland will suit a lot of Europeans because it should be a firm race course. It could be different than what they run on over there, but it should be firm. It's flat, and a lot of Europeans don't ever have the opportunity to run on a flat race course. So a lot of them are very much looking forward to it.
Well, it's the sand base here. It helps the drainage a lot, but it also can create some issues when the weather's bad. Now, Michael Hernan assured us that the Farmer's Almanac said it was going to be beautiful here for Breeders' Cup. So, yeah, we're basing our hopes and prayers on the Farmer's Almanac and hope we have some great days here at Keeneland. But a lot of times the Europeans come over here in search of firmer ground, and if it rains, they get the soft ground. I think that was proven last weekend. The Europeans didn't do so well here on the softer turf.
Historically, we've run the Breeders' Cup at Churchill 8 times. It's been firm ground and good ground every single time. So it should be firm ground, and that's what we expect. And a lot of the Europeans, when we say their soft ground is a little different than our soft ground. So they usually can handle it better than ours. I mean, you take Dutch Connection, for instance, that's who you're talking about. He loves fast ground. At the same time, he's run very well on soft ground. He was second in group one on soft ground, so it's not like he hated it. It's just he just didn't run well for some reason, but that wouldn't affect anyone else from coming.
You know, that's so interesting that you guys would bring that up, because Alistair Donald, who joins us each and every time we talk about Europeans in these big races, he's with the International Racing Bureau. He always tells us that it's not necessarily a fact that Europeans prefer soft ground. And I think we often think that that's the case in racing. And Josh, that's not always the case, right?
No, it's not always the case. And that's why, you know, we're supported so well from Europe, and a lot of them, because they do need fast ground. And it's been wet. Royal Ascot was fast. Outside of that, a lot of the big races were run on soft ground. You take Glen Eagles is one of the highest rated horses on the planet. I think he's the 16th highest rated horse on the planet. He's a four-time Group 1 winner. He hasn't run since June because he wants fast ground.
Josh, do you know the total number of Europeans we might see here at Keeneland?
I would say we'll be close to 30. It's hard to tell. I don't really know the effect Golden Horn could have on a lot of horses. A lot of horses will keep an eye on him because he could potentially scare off other horses. But I would say 30. You know, we'll have one in the Classic. The turf could depend upon what everyone does. You could have five or six in there. The Philly American Turf will be about half European, and then the two-year-old races and the mile will be half European. That usually comes out to high 20s or almost 30.
Well, it's amazing that you know almost an exact number, because I've seen you in action the last few days. You work around the clock. Your phone starts going off at 4 in the morning from Europeans who forget what time zone you're in, and you don't stop till you sleep at night. And it's amazing. You were going over some horses this morning while you were eating your breakfast. This is your busy time of year, but you do such an amazing job, and hats off to you, really.
Yeah, the whole team does, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do without everyone else. And everyone at the Breeders' Cup has been working their butts off the whole summer trying to get everything ready for Keeneland. And I think a lot of people that haven't been to Keeneland will get to see how well our team has worked. And, you know, it's just going to be, I think it'll be a hell of an event. And just, I don't think any of us sleep during this time period, but it's a lot like Christmas for all of us that like horse racing, so we don't mind not sleeping.
Yeah, well said. Josh Christian with the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Josh, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and you can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Josh, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll look forward to seeing you out here and over the course of the next couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And Mike, I promise you one thing. I think the Europeans will have a lot better record than the Steelers do this year.
Oh, come on. Josh Christian is banned from the Horse Racing Radio Network. That's it.
Good job,
Cut
Josh.
Him off. Wow. Hostile territory. Man. In Mike Vick, we trust. Did I really just say that publicly?
Good Lord.
Anyway, all right. Well, enough of Josh Christian. Let's hope Bill Farish is a little bit nicer than Josh Christian
was.
Well,
I'm sure he's a little nicer.
All right, it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. I tell you every week, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, you go see the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And when you go in, you see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. You say, hey, Godfather, the Baron told me I needed to come in and say hello. And trust me, he will talk to you about horses for about an hour before you even start talking about those outstanding vehicles. Make sure you do it at the Lexus Store of Lexington.
The thoroughbred being profiled herein was unreservedly classified as a true superstar, both on the racetrack and in the breeding shed, until he went his way to the big paddock in the sky, so to speak, at the age of 27. His death came at Alfred G. Vanderbilt's Sagamore Farm in Glendon, Maryland in 1958. He was the son of Ariadne, out of display by Light Brigade, was foaled in 1931 and raced for four seasons for A.G. Vanderbilt. He started 63 times, won 27, had 10 seconds and 10 thirds. That's 47 out of 63 in the money. He earned $195,000-plus during his lifetime on the track, and that was an awful lot of money in the 1930s. He was a renowned carrier of high weight, and as a result of that ability, earned the nickname of the Big Train while still racing. That was a highly favorable moniker indeed, if one but considers that the immortal Walter Johnson, of Baseball Hall of Fame, carried the same nickname. This Muirworth Farm bred had quite a remarkable racing record indeed. In 33 starts at the ages of 4 and 5, his average impost carried was 131 pounds. He won 10 of his composite total of 27, weighted at 130 or over, 2 at 130, 1 at 131, 3 packing 132, 2 with 135, 1 with 136, and 1 race with an imposing 139 pounds on his back. There's not a single thoroughbred racing in this country today that even remotely be considered capable of that ability, not one. In his career on the track, he won the Brooklyn Handicap 3 times, the Rhode Island, Maryland, Butler, San Carlos, Stars and Stripes, Bunker Hill, Arlington, Cincinnati, Murchison Citizens, Kenner, and the Whitney 3 times, the Wilson twice, the Detroit Challenge Cup and Hawthorne Gold Cup, among many others. John Salvatore Harvey wrote of him, quote, "He was called upon to do things no other thoroughbred had ever attempted, and if he did not uniformly succeed, his success was such that the voices of detraction should be silent in the presence of a performer so transcendent," end of quote. He was retired to stud for the 1937 season at Sagamore and continued for many years most successfully in that role at that farm. He was a sire of Fine, the outstanding distance horse who indeed took after his father in many stakes winners, including Loser Weeper, New Moon, Traffic Court, Conniver, Knockdown, Miss Disco, Too Timely, Femme Fatale, First Glance, Dispose, New World, Dark Discovery, Lord Calvert, Newsbeat, Columbus Kitchen Police, First Serve, Sometime Thing, Bonar, Coveted, and Foreign Affair. What an array of glittering stars of the turf. His greatest fame at stud came via his production of superb daughters. Vanderbilt often stated a very simple breeding rule, quote, "Breed a mare by this great horse to anything," end of quote. Among his outstanding producing distappers were Geisha, Dam of Native Dancer, and Miss Disco, Dam of the quintessentially brilliant Bold Ruler. Both Geisha and Bold Ruler were horses of the year. They also sired the dams of Hasty Road, Grover B., Better Roses, and Traffic Judge. Both Mr. Vanderbilt, his owner, and Ralph Kirchable, who was the Sagamore farm manager for many years, vowed there never was another horse like this one, who was affectionately nicknamed Pops. So fond were they both of this grand old campaigner that they bid farewell to him before the day of his demise from progressively poor health, which was on August 28, 1958. Neither wanted to be around when he was put to sleep to mercifully spare him from any undue suffering. He was buried in the farm cemetery next to the only other horse buried there, the superb mare Better Roses. This great thoroughbred, who left an indelible mark in capital letters on the now yellowed pages of both racetrack history and stud records, was the brilliant Discovery, a true legend of the turf.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to visit with Bill Farish here on the Equine Forum. Stay with us right after this short break.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Don't miss out on great racing and much more over what figures to be a big three-day weekend at the Great Race Place. Come on out today for our first ever Santa Anita Wings and Beer Festival. Experience a variety of hot wing flavors paired with craft brews beginning Saturday at 12 noon on the grandstand apron. Go to santaanita.com/events to get your tickets now. Make plans to join us for special Columbus Day racing on Monday with first close time at 1 p.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Watt Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilro.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby. And you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The field turns for home. Misconnect and Jackson and Lormer, they've been at each other's throats the whole way. Signature Smile is bearing down on them as Purple Sky looks for running room, and he'll try to come on through between horses. And from nowhere, here's Honor Code. Honor Code, who was way behind earlier. At the 16th, it is Honor Code in front. Honor Code had to make up 20 lengths to win it here, and he won by 4.5 and going away. Misconnect was second. Purple Sky was third. Will Rodrigo was fourth.
Honor Code has been simply sensational for much of his career, and he comes into this year's Breeders' Cup Classic as one of the horses to beat. He is, of course, owned by Lane's End, and the entire team at Lane's End, of course, owned by Delridge Farm as well. And, you know, when you think about Lane's End, you think about them as a top breeder, and as a matter of fact, as a 13-time leading stud farm. Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, for example, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by a weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, well, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, you can visit lanesend.com, or you can just listen to Bill Farish as he joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, boy, some impressive statistics there that we were able to run through.
Well, I'm glad you touched on all those.
I saved you the trouble of going
right
through them. Well, welcome to the show. And, yeah, you think about the success that you've had. I mean, a 13-time leading stud farm. And then you think about the young stallions that are coming up, like The Factor and Union Rags, and the success that they're having already. You have to be just thrilled, and you have to be extremely proud.
Well, we are. It's a big team effort, but it's really gratifying to see the Union Rags and The Factors come out and sell the way they did. You know, anymore that there's so many yearlings by a given sire in the sales that it's it used to be that you could manufacture those numbers, but now that there's too many of them, and you can't really they sell how they sell, and it's great to see them both be so popular.
You guys do such a great job, and you have an excellent team. I mean, when you go to your consignments and you see how everything's run, it's a very nice place to be, a easy way to look at horses. And talk about your crew and how important that is to a stud farm.
Well, it's absolutely vital. And Mike Klein, our farm manager, has been with us since 79. You know, our crew in general is Todd Klaunch and Billy Sellers. Billy Sellers, our stallion manager, has been with us since we first started Standing Stallions in 84. And, you know, it's just, you can't say enough about how important those guys are on a daily basis. And I'm leaving so many of them out, but they really, they make the place go.
Sound the alarm. Bill Farish with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing. Do you always get this kind of reception?
I'm wondering where it's coming from.
Well, there is a loose horse on the track here at training at Keeneland, and that is the warning signal, just to let everybody know that there is a loose horse, and the outriders will no doubt apprehend him relatively quickly, as they typically do here, not only in the mornings but in the afternoons as well.
We got to hope it's real quick.
Yeah. Well, we did this last year. We sat here, and this warning siren went on for about 15 minutes during the program. So it was a little bit of ambiance, I guess. It makes you feel like you're here at the track, right?
When you're sure. Don't need any reminding if you're sitting where you guys get to sit here. This is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. What's the key, Bill, with young stallions like Union Rags and the Factor, when you're just getting them started, you're getting their babies to the sales ring now, what's the key to making them successful right off the bat?
Well, it's you know, the stallion market's very, very competitive. There's a lot of farms, you know, trying to make stallions, and getting the right horse is more important than anything, than pricing, and having the client base that has the confidence in you that you're going to put good stallions in front of them. And so it's there are a lot of gimmicks out there to try to get people to breed the stallions, but to get the good mares and the good breeders that raise the offspring the right way, you've got to have the right horses, and you got to price them fairly.
Do you find that success breeds success? And what I mean by that is you've had so much success in the breeding side of things that people just tend to gravitate toward Lane's End now because of the past success that you've had?
Well, I think that does happen. You know, watching Lane's End grow, and you know, when AP Indy was doing his thing, and King Mambo and Smart Strike all kind of simultaneously, it really you know, it puts the farm in a place that you know, is very unique. And we're seeing that with Gainsway and Tappet right now. It's amazing how a great stallion like that can really raise the whole farm, and so it's very important. But you know, the stallion business is like any other business. You're only as good as your last successful stallion. So the AP Indies unfortunately eventually retire, and you've got to replace them.
Well, you guys have done an excellent job of picking out horses, and talk about that process. How do you scout these horses, and what's involved in acquiring them for your farm?
Well, we've got a great team. We're constantly monitoring what's out there. I think Dad has had an amazing ability to pick the right horse, and a lot of times it comes down to something as simple as looking at him and saying, "Would you breed to that horse?" And when the answer is no, it's pretty easy to know that they're on the wrong track. But he's got a very, very good feel for things, and always has, and it's crucial because you invest a lot in every stallion. You know, you breed a lot of your mares to them, and it's important that you've got a good chance to make that stallion.
Visiting with Lane's End's Bill Farish here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bill also serves as chairman of the board for Breeders' Cup. And Bill, you and I were talking a few moments ago before you came on, and you threw some very impressive numbers at me with this year's Breeders' Cup in terms of ticket sales and the number of people that will be converging here on the Bluegrass. And one aspect of it that I think gets overlooked is the fact that when you come to Central Kentucky, it has so much to offer for a horse racing fan, and so much of that has to do with the stud farms.
I think no question. I mean, it's very unique in that sense that we're completely surrounded by thousands of horse farms, and yeah, Keeneland itself is such a unique venue. It really has an Augusta-type feel to it. A lot of people criticize the idea of coming here at smaller venue and everything else, but as I was telling you, the ticket sales this year have more than doubled over Santa Anita in terms of revenue, and just the outpouring of interest from people around the country to come here for this Breeders' Cup is very exciting.
Yeah, it has been remarkable, and of course so much to offer, not just the stud farms where people can go and tour all the different horse farms, but they can take a bourbon tour while they're here, right? They can go down and see Rupp Arena, maybe take in a UK football game the night after the Breeders' Cup. So a lot of things to offer, right, and a lot of things for fans to do even outside of the racing.
That's right. We've got the National Horse Show here that weekend, which is
right,
the old Madison Square Garden National Horse Show, which is one of the biggest shows of the year. And to think that that's happening simultaneously at the horse park is hard to believe.
We threw a poll question out there at the beginning of the show, and the poll question, by the way, you can tweet to us at HRN if you want to weigh in. The one horse that you feel cannot lose the respective Breeders' Cup race, and as we went to the commercial break, you said, that's easy. It's Honor Code. Right? Well, how is the big horse doing?
He's doing great. You know, we mapped out a plan that was a little different going to the Kelso on the way to the Breeders' Cup. Shug really wanted something a little easier on him than going back-to-back mile and a quarter, which he's never run a mile and a quarter. So it made a lot of sense. We got a short field, which we thought we might with him being in there. And then we got a sloppy track, which, you know, makes it a little more speed favoring, a little tougher for a horse like him to come from behind. So we got out of it what we hoped, and you know, we couldn't feel better about where he is right now. We think he is an incredibly unique horse, and but it's one of the great classic fields I think we've seen in a long time, and it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, you've got Beholder coming off, you know, two really good races, great races. If you want to look at the Pacific Classic, you got a Triple Crown winner in there. You've got your horse who's been so impressive, and it was funny to read what people were saying about his prep race, and you know, oh, he didn't run well or whatever. I thought he ran very well, and I thought it was a prep race. It wasn't really designed for him to go out there and run a one turn mile. It was designed to keep him fit and focused, and I think that really worked. So I think he's got a big shot in the Classic, and he's been amazing this year.
His race in the Whitney, we were there at Saratoga, we broadcast that race. It was coming to the final furlong, I don't know if I would have bet him at that point, Bill. And
no.
he gave you that acceleration.
I don't think I would have bet him at the eighth pole.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
Liam's Map ran a monster race, and really just he ran a winning race. I thought it was Liam's Map's performance on that day was one of the best races of the year, I thought. But he got caught at the wire, and you know, maybe that's just right at the edge of his distance limitations. And you know, I think it's interesting that they're going to run in the mile, because it changes the speed scenario in the Classic significantly.
How good is that Classic going to be? You have Champion Beholder, yeah. You have American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner, first Triple Crown winner in the history of the Breeders' Cup, and then you have Honor Code, Tonalist.
Yeah, we can't forget Tonalus. He ran a huge race in the Gold Cup, and he loves the distance. And, you know, if he runs back to that race and the right scenario plays out, he could be your winner. And I know that camp wouldn't trade positions with anybody, which is amazing.
Well, Bill, hats off to you and to your team, both at Lane's End and Breeders' Cup. Continued success. Good luck with Honor Code, and thank you for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. Can't do it without you, and really do appreciate it.
Well, not at all. Thanks very much for having me today, and pray for good weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Bill Farish here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, will indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to NHCTour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
Maryland's horse farms make up 25% of our agricultural acreage, with industry assets worth $5.6 billion. With more than 65,000 people involved in the horse industry, we have ties to all sectors of the Maryland economy, providing more than 14,000 jobs and generating $72 million in annual taxes. Maryland's horse industry has a positive impact on land, money, people, and jobs.
The Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, live from Keeneland.
Sister Stroll and personal diary run late, but Crown Queen, the leader. Ball dancing is second. Crown Queen, the million-dollar baby, returns to Keeneland and wins the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup.
Later today, go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live. The QE2 Challenge Cup, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Midway on the far turn, Shake of Shakes has the lead by 2.5 lengths. Rated R Superstar travels in second. Exaggerator now tries to wake up and change lanes from third. Looks toward the inside, stays down toward the rail. Now finds room between horses. Exaggerator and Rated R Superstar both running by to the outside of Shake of Shakes. Brody's Cause is coming late from fourth. Exaggerator the leader. Rated R Superstar, then Brody's Cause on the outside. Final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Brody's Cause a final try. Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, coming to you from the home of the 2015 Breeders' Cup World Championships, Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington. Gorgeous morning, temperatures in the mid-50s. We are on our way to the mid to upper 60s today with plenty of sunshine. Going to be a fast main track and a firm turf course for the running of the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, that Grade 1 set for 5:30 Eastern. Our coverage begins 5 o'clock Eastern time here on HRRN. Our good friend Steve Castagnola is going to be joining us in the second half of the program, along with John Gasper and Michael Hernan from Gainesway. And he will be thrilled with that little rejoin clip that we just played, because it was Brody's Cause winning the Breeders' Futurity here at Keeneland last weekend, punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for trainer Dale Romans. And that was an impressive, impressive run from off the pace.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very good run. Dale's very high on that colt, and it'll be interesting to watch him move forward to the Breeders' Cup and see how he performs.
Don't forget, on Sunday, October 18th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. You'll see the best horses from countries like Ireland, Germany, England, France, Australia, the United States, and, of course, Canada. And, of course, with $1 million bucks on the line, you can be sure they're all going to bring their A game to Woodbine. Wager on the early pick four, which is guaranteed at $300,000, and the late pick four pool at $500,000. Woodbine will also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools. It's the Pattison Canadian International, Sunday, October 18th, live from Woodbine, first post 1 p.m. For more information, visit CanadianInternational.com or follow them at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. Another outstanding horse race.
Yeah.
It seems like this time of year they just come in bunches.
Well,
don't they?
It's a championship season, as people like to say. And, yeah, the Breeders' Cup, of course, the culmination. And we also have the champion races in Europe. So it's a great time of year to be a horse racing fan.
Don't forget our poll question. You can tweet us at HRRN. The one horse that you feel cannot lose the respective Breeders' Cup race, that horse would be. We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. Who is it? Who's the sure thing mortal lock of the two-day Breeders' Cup? The one horse you feel cannot lose in their respective division. Tweet us at HRRN or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And Chauncey, I think we have a couple of updates to that question, don't we?
Yeah, I have actually. Quite a few people have come in. Beholder seems to be the favorite. There's about four or five people who say Beholder. Private Zone, if he gets post 1 through 3.
a qualifier.
If he gets post 4, he's got no shot.
No shot.
A couple votes for American Pharoah. Someone for Songbird in the Juvenile Fillies. Says it's an absolute freak.
She's good. She's really good.
I saw somebody, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the, Golden Horn. I had a couple people chime in with Golden Horn when we were speaking about him earlier. So, but Beholder, everybody seems to think Beholder is going to be the one to come in and take on the boys and win.
It's funny, Jude, you referred to the Breeders' Cup Classic as the boys running against Beholder, not Beholder running against the boys.
Right.
You still feel that way?
I do. I'm very high on Beholder. I was lucky enough to be at Del Mar when she won the Pacific Classic. I thought it was one of the all-time great performances that I've ever seen live. I was so blown away by her, and she's a filly that I love anyway. I mean she's captured me a long time ago, so you know, but it was just breathtaking, her race. You just couldn't believe it, you know, that old line, I can't believe what I just saw. It was very apropos with that performance by Beholder. But that's not who, I mean, I think Beholder's got a really good chance, but that's not who I would pick. I'm not going to say who I would pick, but I will by the end of the show if you ask me by the end of the show, because I don't want
to
influence
I have to remember
anybody.
To ask you now?
Well, I'm not okay. Just going to blurt it out. You're the host, dude.
Write it down. Remember to ask me. Well, in case you're wondering about Beholder, and if you haven't heard the news yet, the two-time Eclipse Award winner worked 5 furlongs at Santa Anita yesterday on the fast main track. She did it in 1:02 breezing. Her Hall of Fame trainer, Richard Mandela, said that he got her in 1:01 2/5. American Pharoah also worked at Santa Anita yesterday, the Triple Crown winner going in 1:01.20. And Bob Baffert saying he got him in like 49 flat for 4 furlongs and 1:01 flat. And if you're wondering when they're going to arrive here in the Bluegrass, well, Richard Mandela saying that Beholder will have one more breeze before she ships to Keeneland on the 19th. Bob Baffert saying he has a couple of options, either the 27th, which would be the latest he could ship American Pharoah, or the 25th. So it could be either one of those days. He said he's keeping an eye on the weather back here in Kentucky. So we'll get a chance to see each of those horses. Beholder set to get here before American Pharoah.
Yeah, well, it all depends on training schedules and that type of thing. So these guys, they're used to shipping horses around the country, so they'll make all the right moves.
And we're getting ready for hour number two here on a busy Equine Forum show. We'll handicap the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. We'll take a look at the Knickerbocker in New York and the West Virginia Breeders' Classic. And we'll also talk some Breeders' Cup with our guests here in the second half of the program. So stay tuned. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Don't miss Maryland's Day at the Races on Saturday, October 17th at Laurel Park. Come celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Jim McKay Maryland Million Day, a celebration of Maryland's horses and lots of fun for all ages. First race is at 12:15 with 11 exciting races. Great entertainment on the track and a collector's cap, too. Don't miss out on the fun at Laurel Park on Saturday, October 17th. For more information, visit MarylandMillion.com or MarylandRacing.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the Spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bread, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, edging ever closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming to the Bluegrass for the very first time. Now 20 days, 6 hours, and just 27 minutes away from that Breeders' Cup. We'll be there as your exclusive radio home, providing you with more than 19 hours of Breeders' Cup week coverage beginning on the Tuesday prior. Of course, all of our Breeders' Cup coverage presented by our friends at Cal Density. You can tune in here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, on our website, on affiliates across the country, and on SiriusXM. Check out a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule at horseracingradio.net.
Well, before we get into the handicapping segment and Breeders' Cup discussion, I want to clarify something from last night's show. We had John Koziak, our longtime listener, sitting in Boston drinking while his phone had auto-corrected driving to drinking.
Yeah, so we asked people to let us know where they were tuning in.
John's right. A Hall of Fame baseball scout for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he just sent me a text. He says, "For the record, I'm drinking coffee on my couch, listening to you guys on my iPad, betting Newmarket through ExpressBet on my computer, and watching HRTV on my TV. Things I can do now that my baseball season is over." So he is drinking, but he's drinking coffee.
Well done. Well done. Busy weekend of Breeders' Cup preps last weekend, and of course the Win and You're In races concluded this past Thursday with the Jessamine Stakes. Harmonize winning that one here at Keeneland. And now all eyes on the QE2 Challenge Cup, which comes up this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. It's the ninth race on the program, and we'll have that exclusive coverage for you beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But without further ado, our trifecta of handicappers are in the house here in the Keeneland Press Box with us, and that is our man Stevie Castagnola, John Gasper, and Michael Hernan from Gainesway. Stevie, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you back on board.
Good morning. Good to be here. Looking forward to discussing the QE2 along with last weekend's racing and looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup, less than 3 weeks away.
Johnny, the prep races are done. We can now turn our attention toward the World Championships, and a lot of work to do with all those championship races.
Yeah, now it's up to the trainers, and they've got their fingers crossed now, hoping everything's, everybody came out of their races well, and they train well up to it. And as you said earlier in the last hour, that a lot of them they're going to ship in right on top of the races now, which, everybody, like I say, everybody has a different schedule. Everybody has a different way of doing it. So we'll see. We'll be hearing a lot about it in the next couple of weeks, and it's almost unbelievable that it's almost here already.
Yeah.
We've talked about it for several months, and now here it is right on top of us. And hopefully we'll have a good weather day two good weather days here at Keeneland, and it's going to be exciting.
Michael Hernan with Gainesway is back with us here on the Equine Forum again, and he was en fuego with his picks last weekend. He might have given out, four winners on top? Is that right, Michael? Something like that, 3-4?
His purchase came along and won the Grade 1, and I'm sure is headed into the Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely. If everything stays well, that's what we're looking for.
Brody's Cause.
Brody's Cause. It was extremely exciting, to say the least.
And I'm happy to report that Ireland are still alive in the World Cup of rugby, and they've
in Twickenham, and that game is on at McCarthy's at 11:45, so there'll be a cast of thousands down there.
Are you going? Will you be there if I show up at 11:45?
Wouldn't miss it.
I would show up a little earlier if you want to get a seat.
Did Costello sing last weekend?
Oh my God. It was so great. Pat was a no-show.
All right, well, we are going to take a look at the QE2 Challenge Cup. We're going to take a look at the Knickerbocker in New York and maybe a cursory glance at the West Virginia Breeders' Classic at Charlestown as well. But, guys, before we do that, I want to look back on what we saw last weekend. I mentioned the plethora of Breeders' Cup races that we had not only here at Keeneland but up in New York. And it began with the Phoenix Stakes, which was won by Run Happy here last Friday. And a horse that has just been sensational since moving to the barn of Maria Burrell.
Yeah, a horse that a lot of people felt that he may regress. He did run such a big race at Saratoga in the King's Bishop, posted a 111 buyer speed figure, and there were some questions as to whether he would bounce a little bit off that effort. He drew the rail, and interesting, he wasn't that quick into stride. It took him about 50 to 100 yards to make the front, but boy, he is a super fast horse. One thing that did concern me just a little bit, he started to lug out closer to when he was getting to the wire there, heading over to the outside rail. Not quite sure if he was just getting a little bit leggy, but certainly the horse to beat in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and a very, very fast horse.
Well, the fact that the saddle was around his ass at the end of the race might have had something to do with that. He was that saddle slipped so far back, you know, the rider could barely control him.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because Maria Burrell joined us this past week on Express Bet Radio, and she talked about that very same issue.
It was amazing. I was all smiles before the race, never mind after the race. I was honestly very, very confident about this filly running on Saturday. I'd always been high on her since I actually first ever got to ride her.
Well, we tried. That was Sophie Doyle. She was pretty happy as well.
About a different horse and a different race.
Yeah, and her saddle didn't slip. We'll play that clip in a minute when we talk about Fioretti. But Maria Burrell talked about Run Happy and the incident with the saddle slipping.
You know, I talked to Edgar about it, and he had said a couple things. He had said that he purposely got him to drift out and go off the rail because the rail was terrible, and he thought the horse the outside was coming up and making a move. So between, I think that combined with the saddle being back by his tail, I don't know, I think there's a bunch of things combined. We have struggled a bit with his saddle slipping on a daily basis. He does train daily with a breast collar. And I've talked to Edgar about that, but he was worried it was going to shorten his stride. So we're playing around with a few chamois and trying to see what we can get done for Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, good idea. You don't want the saddle slipping in the Breeders' Cup. And if this is a a regular occurrence, John Gasser, that ain't good.
No. That, you know, I don't know what they're, you know, I don't know what they've been trying, what they've been doing. But, yeah, they're going to have to solve that because, you know, they're going to – he'll get more pressure on 2 weeks from today than she's been getting, you know. So we can't, you can't really have any miscues on that. You got to have everything going right.
And, you know, both times Run Happy broke 11th, at least each of his last two wins. When he won the King's Bishop, he broke 11th. When he won here in the Phoenix Stakes, he broke 11th. But in the blink of an eye, was in front and never looked back. And Michael Hernan, as you know, in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, if you have speed, you can be very, very dangerous.
Well, clearly he's a super talented three-year-old. Best one I can remember at three. Of course, we stood him, and he's in retirement now at Gainsway with Smoke Lacken, who did get the Eclipse Award as a three-year-old in the sprint division. This horse, Run Happy, you know, most impressive horse. What can you say? The numbers are great. His performances are brilliant. He's a special horse, and we hope that, you know, he runs his race and the best horse wins, and I think he'll take all the beating.
Well, the other prep race here at Keeneland on opening day was the Darley Alcibiades, and Gomo for Doug O'Neill, who has been red hot with his juveniles, gets the victory in there. She's on her way to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Thoughts on that performance, guys?
Well, I mean, like you say, he's done it all with her. I mean, I think it's impressive when those horses leave California and come here. I've always had a bit of a stigma, especially coming out of Del Mar, coming in here, because it seems like that the numbers are a little bit, I don't know what you want to call it, they're just a little bit high, I guess you'd say, and it's like almost coming out of Gulfstreams the same way. These horses get these huge numbers, and then they come in here, and, you know, they don't perform quite as well. So for that filly to do what she did, I thought that was a very, very good race for her.
And certainly will benefit her in the Breeders' Cup, having a race over the track. It was a terrific ride by Mario Gutierrez. And I think the reason she came here was to avoid Songbird, who ran, obviously, at Santa Anita. Was super impressive in the Chandelier Stakes. But, you know, hats off to Team Red and Doug O'Neill. They're certainly firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, it was an excellent performance, and I think you're absolutely right, Stevie. There's no question they wanted to duck Songbird. It's a good move.
Absolutely.
The other races that took place here last weekend, let's go to Saturday, where we saw the Thoroughbred Club of America and Fioretti really just take it to him in here. A big long shot, Sophie Doyle, who we're going to hear that clip here in just a minute, the young jockey from England picking up her very first Greatest Stakes victory in that moment, and Fioretti just really ran them off their feet in that spot.
Yeah, and you know, Judy the Beauty upset in that race. A lot of people single, and Mike, you made a good point last week. I mentioned that Judy the Beauty was 4-for-4 at Kingland, and as you astutely pointed out, all four over the poly track. So, you know, a little disappointing for Judy the Beauty. I thought that she would lay all over that field at odds on. But congratulations to Sophie Doyle, and I think this horse was a $35,000 Horses of Racing Age purchase just last year. So a terrific buy for the Connections.
Well, Sophie did spend some time this past week on our Jock Talk program, and she talked about what it was like to pick up that first Greatest Stakes victory with Fioretti.
It was amazing. I was all smiles before the race, never mind after the race. I was honestly very, very confident about this filly running on Saturday. I'd always been high on her since I actually first ever got to ride her back in Churchill on the turf, and I'd always, since I won the Rolex Anna on her, I said to Anthony, I said, this is going to be a really smart filly. I really like her. And it's amazing how she'd actually been going all winter, and then suddenly from the springtime onwards, she's really blossomed. I think I actually thought the race didn't look too tough, and the way she had been working, we actually brought her here and breezed her one morning because the training center track just wasn't, the weather wasn't playing the right way. So we brought her here for one morning just to give her a half a breeze, and went a half in 47, and I just sat back and enjoyed the ride, and I said, wow. I said, we're going to have a big shot. I said, you better have some money on this one.
Wow.
And she done it in good fashion.
When did you know the race was over and that they weren't going to catch you?
When I crossed the wire. I just, you know, I had the same, I sort of had that same adrenaline rush that I did when I rode her in the groupie doll when she finished second, that she led all the way. And I literally, two jumps before the wire, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to win my first Graded Stakes. And Cool Pat with Joe Rocco just flew past me. They came past me so fast. I was like, I was thinking, where's the photo inquiry? It was that quick. Wow. And when they wasn't, they came back, I was like, oh my God. So to have that feeling, you know, mixed emotions of one minute you're winning, the next minute it's taken away. So this time I kind of kept myself composed, and I just kept my head down, kept riding to the wire. And when I looked up and saw no one else was in front of me, then I knew I'd won.
Sophie Doyle talking about winning the TCA with Fioretti. And that show, she was such a delight to visit with. We spent an hour with Sophie going back through her background and talking about all the different things that have gotten her to this point in her career, and you can go back and hear that on our website at horseracingradio.net. But, boy, Fioretti, Michael Hernan, Fioretti was so good in winning the TCA, and how much of an advantage is it to come into the Breeders' Cup knowing that your horse handles this particular surface here at Keeneland? It has to be huge.
It's sure better than the reverse.
Yeah, very astute.
Yeah, well said.
Clearly, it's obviously significant to handle the track well, and we just have to hope for a similar track, good safe track, and good weather for Breeders' Cup weekend, and everyone can run to their own level of ability.
You know, I kept Stevie in suspense long enough with this next race, but the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity going to Brody's Cause, an impressive performance from off the pace last weekend, Stevie. Congratulations on that one. I know it meant an awful lot to you.
Thank you. It meant a lot to the entire team. The Albar family stable really made a big commitment 2 years ago, allowed Barry Birkelhammer, Lisa McGreevy, and myself to pick out 9 colts. And we looked for horses that could get us on the Triple Crown trail. Brody's Cause broke his maiden impressively, and he had done nothing but get better. And boy, what a finish! I mean, he had one horse beat as they came around the far turn, with the short stretch going a mile and a 1/16, and he just finished with a full head of steam. And he's come out of the race in terrific order. And we actually have one in the barn that we feel is better than Brody's Cause, and that's Unbridled Outlaw. He was extremely unlucky in the Iroquois Stakes. We decided not to run him in the Futurity, simply train him to the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, we know a lot can happen over the next couple of weeks, but should everybody stay happy and healthy, we may have a 1-2 punch in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is obviously extremely exciting.
Yeah, he was impressive. Dale was very high on him going in to the race and extremely high going out, almost guaranteed a Breeders' Cup victory with him. So I don't know about the story. There's always one better in the barn, but I don't know about that story based on what Dale said.
Well, it's going to be, you know, the Juvenile 14, you know, they'll run 14 on this track. And with the mile and the 16th with the short finish, you're going to have a lot of luck involved in winning the race. It's, you know, 14 is a lot of horses coming around that turn when, as I said, when you finish mid-stretch at the 16th pole.
Who do you feel is the horse you're going to have to beat, other than your other horse?
Well, I thought the horse that won in New York certainly was impressive. The Bernardini's are full to Algorithms out of that terrific mare, Ava Knows the Code.
Greenpoint Crusader?
Yes, Greenpoint Crusader, thank you. And I thought he was impressive in New York. You know, Rallis really didn't fire his race. And, you know, I think Paul Redham has the other horse in California, his name...
Nyquist.
Nyquist, yes. So, you know, we're quietly confident, but I did think that the horse in New York was very impressive.
Speaking of racing in New York, I mentioned several Breeders' Cup preps in New York last weekend as well. The big one, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, being won by Tonalist. And, Michael, I am going to start with you on this one because Tonalist really looked good in winning that race for the second consecutive year. He's a son of Gainsway stallion Tappet and looks like he's in top form coming into the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Well, he certainly ran a big race. I think he needed to step up. He was a bit unlucky in a couple of the earlier races, but Tonalist, talented horse, classic winner. He looks like he's going to come up to this race in good order. He loves Belmont Park. That would be a bit of an edge for him if they were holding the Breeders' Cup there. However, it's here at Keeneland, so we'll just have to see how the race unfolds. Liam's Map stepping into the mile versus the Classic might change the tempo a little early. Tonalist wants speed to run at. And, you know, when he gets those conditions, he's tough. He's a good horse. He's a big horse. So he's going to, you know, need a good trip and get around this home turn without being impeded. The other horse on the Tappet line there, I think, is the rapidly improving Frosted for Kieran McLaughlin. He ran a huge race in the Pennsylvania Derby, is improving at the right time. So I think he, too, is very live in the Classic.
I'm glad you brought up Liam's Map. That's a good point that we haven't touched on yet. It was announced this week that instead of going to the Classic, where many people thought he would go, he is instead going to point for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And you're right, that changes the complexion of the Classic 180 degrees.
Well, I think it does a bit. And, you know, certainly Liam's Map, very admirable racehorse, highly talented. And as Wayne Lucas told me years ago about Orientate, he too, Liam's Map, has the three qualities that Orientate had, which is speed, speed, and more speed. So we like Liam's Map a lot. He's going to go to Lane's End, and he's going to be very tough in the mile.
Yeah, he will be. There's no doubt about that with that early speed. And, John, when you think about that Breeders' Cup Classic and what we might see, Beholder looking for her third Breeders' Cup victory, two-time champion, taking on the boys. As Jude said, the boys are taking on Beholder because she's certainly in good form. Then you have Triple Crown winner American Pharoah going in the Classic. You throw in Tonalist. You throw in Honor Code. That race is loaded.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I mean, you're supposed to get all the best ones in there. And as far as the Liam's Map thing, I think they're doing the right thing. That's what I would do. You know, I would go for the mile. I mean, he's going to be double tough in there, I think. And you know, not to say that he couldn't win the Classic, but I think he's much more of a likely to win the mile than he is the Classic. And that, like I say, that opens it up really for Baffert. Assuming American Pharoah, you know, doesn't draw bad posts or number 13 or 1 or whatever. I don't even know how many they're going to be in there, but I don't think there's going to be that many now. There'll probably be, what, 7, 8, probably something like that, maybe 9. But, you know, that's his, you know, we've seen him all summer. He likes the front end. He doesn't have to have it, but he likes it that way. And with Liam's Map out of there, that's going to open the door for him. And like you say, that's going to change the whole complexion of the race. And, you know, we don't know, you know, we've heard all this talk. Is he the same because he got beat up at Saratoga? Is he the same horse as he was, you know, back in the summer when everything was going his way and he was winning these races pretty easily? Well, I guess we're just going to have to find out. That's the only way you find out is to lead him over there.
You settle it on the racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, so, and it, whatever happens, though, you know, whether he wins or loses, I mean, he's an amazing horse, obviously, and it's not going to taint any of those horses, any of these horses, you know, past performances, any of their reputations, because they've all done it in numerous times against some of the best, you know. And you know, let's face it, we know that these horses are not, you know, they're not going to give you that same race every time. And, you know, and so many things, so many variables are in there that you just don't know. So those are four very quality horses, you know, five, Liam's Map, count Liam's Map is five, but those are horses that anybody would love to have.
Well, we were talking with Bill Farish earlier, and Tonalist was the fourth horse mentioned,
yeah.
You know, and I always tell people there's in the Breeders' Cup, you know, there's going to be a grade one winner finish last in every race. I mean, that's how good the Breeders' Cup is.
Right.
So, you know, when that happens, you know, there's really no locks. I mean, there's horses that you like, but how many times have you been betting the Breeders' Cup and some horse wins and you go, how did I leave that horse out? It won this, this, and this. I must be an idiot. But I mean, you can't bet them all, right, literally. So it's tough. It's one of the greatest 2 days of horse racing, maybe the greatest 2 days in the United States. And you know, you're right. It's not going to, because you lost the Breeders' Cup Classic, it's not going to make you worth any less.
No. And, you know, another thing, going back to the betting part of it, how many, I mean, I don't know, you could probably go back to the first Breeders' Cup, and there's always big price horses in there. Why? Because, like, just like you say, you know, maybe their form isn't quite current as good as some of the other ones, but yet you look three races back or four races back, and you know, and yeah, I could see now where this horse could win. And there's, and it's going to be this way, I guarantee it's going to be this way, you know, here too. There's going to be some big price horses run in here, whether it's on the turf, the sprint, or whatever, you know, they're going to be in there. So, and that's what makes it so good.
All right, Michael Penna, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff. We're here with you on the Equine Forum, joined by Stevie Castagnola, John Gasper, and Michael Hernan from Gainesway. We are talking a little Breeders' Cup. When we come back from our next break, we're going to preview the Grade 1 QE2 Challenge Cup, which comes up this afternoon here at Keeneland. It's the feature race, and we will have that exclusive coverage of the 32nd running for you beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. You can learn more by going to horseracingradio.net. And by the way, if you missed any portion of this show, don't forget to check out the podcast on our website. We'll be up shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern. Our interviews with Josh Christian in the first half of the show, who has been officially banned from the Horse Racing Radio Network. So if you're looking to hear his interview, the only place you'll hear it is on podcast now on our website. And Bill Farish as well from Lane's End and the chairman of the board for Breeders' Cup. They're all there for you, horseracingradio.net. Time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Jockeys find Keeneland Mile Race challenging. After winning the first main track mile race held in many years, perhaps ever at Keeneland, jockey Corey Lannery had some advice for riders trying the distance in the weeks to come, including the October 30th Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He said, quote, "You need to brake well, that's for sure, especially if you're on the outside," Lannery said after guiding Street Strategy to an off-the-pace win October 9th in the 7th race, an allowance optional claiming event. He said, "I think you can be all right on the outside with a horse with speed. You'll have to brake well. If you miss the brake, I'm not sure there will be many good options." And of course, Honor Code, we just talked about him. He will train at Belmont Park for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee will prepare Honor Code in New York for the two-time Grade 1 winner's planned Breeders' Cup Classic start on October 31st. McGahee will keep Honor Code comfortable at his home base at Belmont, and the trainer said he will choose between 2 or 3 weeks there for the 4-year-old from the final crop of AP Indy. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to bloodhorse.com. We'll go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we will preview the QE2 Challenge Cup coming up later today at Keeneland. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, graded stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 graded stakes winners, stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Don't miss out on great racing and much more over what figures to be a big three-day weekend at the Great Race Place. Come on out today for our first ever Santa Anita Wings and Beer Festival. Experience a variety of hot wing flavors paired with craft brews beginning Saturday at 12 noon on the grandstand apron. Go to santaanita.com/events to get your tickets now. Make plans to join us for special Columbus Day racing on Monday with first close time at 1 p.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Sunny Ridge looking to pull off an upset in the Champagne. Coming into the final furlong with Greenpoint Crusader bearing down on him. And Greenpoint Crusader has gone by and he is pulling away now. Greenpoint Crusader and Joe Bravo are going to win the Champagne with ease.
Greenpoint Crusader could not have been more impressive in winning the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont this past weekend. The son of Darley stallion Bernardini punched his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and his powerful victory makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini has produced 13 career Grade 1 winners, including a Travers winner, in each of his first two crops. Grade 1 Champagne winner, Greenpoint Crusader, and Grade 1 Spinaway heroine, Rachel's Valentina, headline the Bernardini Juveniles on their way to the Breeders' Cup. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaker.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Golo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Feather the leader, Lady Zuzu, coming with more pressure, but Feather is holding on to that lead. Quality Rock swings wide for the stretch drive, and B-Rocket cut the corner in behind. Flying Tippet on the far outside, trying to get going too, as they head for the final furlong. Feathered is still there. Quality Rocks has been trying to get by, but is still second. Feathered with plenty left for the stretch drive. Feathered is holding on. Quality Rocks can't get by. It will be Feathered, and she goes coast to coast. 2.5 lengths on the wire. Quality Rocks and Lady Zuzu.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Baron and Pontiff, live from Keeneland here in Lexington, getting set for the QE2 Challenge Cup this afternoon. It is race 9, set for 5:30 Eastern. And Feathered, one of the main players in there for trainer Todd Pletcher and Aaron Wellman's Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. That was Travis Stone on the call of the Grade 3 Edgewood at Churchill back in May. And Feathered winning that day. She's hoping for a similar performance later this afternoon. Some sad news to report on the Breeders' Cup front here, guys. And our listeners that were tuning in the first half of the program when Bill Farish was joining us heard the loose horse sirens here at Keeneland, which went on for about 10 to 15 minutes. There was a horse that was injured in morning training. Unfortunately, it has been confirmed by Jenny Reese of the Courier-Journal and Alicia Wins Hughes of the Lexington Herald Leader that that horse was Breeders' Cup sprint contender Rockfall, who suffered fatal fractures after the Keeneland work and was indeed put down here this morning. So, of course, our thoughts going out to all the connections of Rockfall. Very sad news there this morning.
Yeah, it's a big blow to the Breeders' Cup and certainly to the connections. The horse was an amazing horse and just very sad, unfortunate incident. And, well, that's all you can say, really.
Yeah, it is all you can say. We're going to look at the Grade 1 QE2 Challenge Cup in just a minute, but want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire, by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and greatest stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. All right, our coverage of the QE2 starts 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. You can learn more by going to horseracingradio.net and listen worldwide on our website as well. Guys, it's a mile and an eighth on the firm turf course this afternoon and a purse of $500,000. It is for the 3-year-old fillies and some good ones in here. The favorite in the field of nine figuring to be number 9, Sentiero Italia. Stevie, let's start with you.
Okay, and I actually was going to just touch on each horse in here. The one, Ms. Money, 30-1 on the morning line, and I believe that she'll be closer to 60-1 than 30-1, and very ambitiously spotted in here by Bernie Flint. I would actually bet her at even money to finish last in this field. She just looks clearly overmatched. The two-prize exhibit comes in for James Cassidy, brings her rider, Santiago Gonzalez, with her. She's coming off two good efforts, a third in the Del Mar Oaks Grade 1, a second in the Yellow Ribbon, so she's a filly in good form. Miss Temple City's an interesting filly. The three actually Jude's family, the Feld family, and Sagamore Farm. This filly took a stab at Royal Ascot in the Group 1 Coronation Stakes, was dismissed at 50-1 that day, and ran her eyeballs out to run fourth, beaten just two lengths for everything. She's come back. She has a second in the Lake Placid, a third in the Sands Point. She does get first-time Lasix today. So Miss Temple City, a filly that I think is tactical and could be right there. Her Eminency, the 4, not much you can pick apart on her. She's lightly raced. She's had 6 career starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds. She was unlucky last time out in the Del Mar Oaks. She was beaten just 3/4 of a length. She does get Florent Giroux today from Mike Stidham. The 5 and the 6, when was the last time that you could get 15-1 morning line on Mark Cassie on the 5 and 15-1 on the 6 trained by Chad Brown? Just shows you how tough the race is when you've got Cassie and Chad Brown both at 15-1 morning line. The 7, Blonde Me, came over from Europe. Was closing last time out in the Sands Point. A lot of these fillies coming out of the same two races, the Del Mar Oaks and the Sands Point. She figures to be closing late. Feathered, a filly that's found a home on the turf. She's the 8 for Todd Pletcher and Eclipse Thoroughbred. She's coming off an impressive win last time out in an allowance race. Obviously has had this race in mind. But they've all got the 9 to beat, the outside filly, Sentiero Italia. She's run at 4 different racetracks in 6 lifetime starts. She's an improving filly. She's coming off back-to-back Grade 2 wins in the Lake Placid and Sands Point. She actually holds both Blonde Me and Miss Temple City on form. She's beaten both of those fillies and they will all have her to beat. I think that she's going to be a short price in here, but she is the most likely winner on the card today, Michael. How I see this race unfolding is...
You're not done yet?
I'm getting ready to be
kidding?
Done.
It was a long explanation to get to the
I
favorite.
I asked you who you liked.
Okay. So, I see... I don't know who's going to want the lead in here, but I see Feather taking the lead with Sentiero Italia just laying off her. I see those two kicking clear at the top of the lane. Miss Temple City and Blonde Me making late runs. It's Sentiero Italia to win and a three-horse photo between Miss Temple City, Blonde Me, and Feathered for the show and place.
Wait, thank you. All of that, and you come out with the 6-5 favorite.
But I've just told you the race. I've laid it out. A late run. Top that.
What time is it? Tell us how to build a watch.
All my radio time.
Wow.
I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues.
John, anything else to add to the QE2?
No, I don't think so.
Who wins it?
I've got to jump in here and say, Steve, it was a great win last weekend.
Thank you.
But don't get high on your own supply.
Outstanding.
I think there's a couple of horses in here that, you know, I mean, like I say, the horse to beat is the 9, no doubt. I'm going to give a shot to a couple other horses in here, and that's one, like say, Miss Temple City with Lasix for the first time, and she's one of those horses that kind of gets in a stalking position and should work out a very good trip. This young rider, Drayden Van Dyke, who's been riding out in California and came up under Todd Pletcher, has done a wonderful job in his first year riding and certainly very, very capable. Another horse that kind of intrigued me a bit was Jim Cassidy's horse, Prize Exhibit. He's always had some pretty good success here bringing these horses in. And I think that this filly will have some definite in the mix there toward the end of the race. She's a filly that doesn't have a lot of speed, but... Again, Santiago Gonzalez has ridden her, looks like, about 4 times and had 2 wins, a second and a third. So I think that she'll be, have a little bit of a chance, too. Outside of the 9, it's kind of competitive as far as picking, you know, if you like the 9 to win, it's competitive. And for the second and third places, if you're playing any kind of trifectas or exactas and things like that. But another horse I gave a big chance to who's had some equipment changes, the 6 for Chad Brown, Olorda. She is first-time Lasix today. If you look back on her chart there, she's run with blinkers a couple of times. He did run with blinkers the other day. It's been back in July against Lady Eli. Of course, you know, as we know, Lady Eli might be the best filly, turf filly, maybe in the world. And she ran terrible that day. She just didn't run well at all. I did see her breeze here Monday morning. Javier Castellano actually breezed her, and she breezed around the dogs here in 49-4. And I'm talking about they couldn't have been out any further than – they were. If she was against the rail, she probably have gone in 46. I mean, that's how far out they were. They were way out there. And so I'm going to give her a chance. And at 15-1, I'm going to, you know, kind of use her in some of the tricks maybe, and definitely not leave her out. I think that she'll improve a whole lot. She seemed to really take the course to the course well. So I'm going to, you know, kind of give Temple City, Miss Temple City, Olorda, Prize Exhibit, a pretty good chance to finish in the money, and obviously, like I say, we said the Sentiero Italia will be the horse to beat.
Michael, the QE2, you have about 8 seconds left. Kidding, take your time.
No, seriously, I only need 5. It's the 9 horse for sure. She's the class of the field, and you can play her on top and mix it up however you like.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think the nine. This is a weight for age race, and so the best horse should win, and the best horse is Sentiero Italia. There's no question about that. I think she's beaten everybody. I will give you this little bit of information I know about Miss Temple City. Miss Temple City's been wide in every race, and she's fought with Johnny Velasquez in every race. So as much as I love Johnny Velasquez, I think he's far and away the best rider on the East Coast. But I really like the jock switch, and I'm not the hugest Drayden Van Dyke fan in the world.
Not the hugest fan. Well, you hate the guy.
I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody.
Well, Proctor's bigger than you are, so you're not the hugest.
No, definitely. There. Yeah, but I think I was having a conversation with my son who works on the West Coast, and he said Drayden Van Dyke is being compared to Shoemaker with his hands and his style, and that's what this filly needs. I would have picked Rafael Bejarano if I was in charge of all this because he has the nice soft hands. But Miles tells me Drayden Van Dyke has nice soft hands, and maybe he gets along with her. Maybe he saves an inch of ground, and that may be enough to turn the tables because we all know maybe the favorite gets in trouble. But I think all things being equal, the favorite's going to win.
All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway, and we'll take a look at the Knickerbocker up at Belmont Park. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
The Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, live from Keeneland.
Sister Stroll and Personal Diary run late, but Crown Queen the leader. Ball Dancing is second. Crown Queen, the million-dollar baby, returns to Keeneland and wins the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup.
Later today, go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live. The QE2 Challenge Cup, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're coming toward the top of the stretch in the Vosburgh. Weekend Hideaway, Rockfall, Stallwalkin' Dude, and Wildcat Red. A 45.5 mile. Now, Stallwalkin' Dude and Rockfall are going at it. Salutos Amigos has moved up on the far outside. It is Rockfall, Stallwalkin' Dude, Salutos Amigos on the outside. Palace down toward the rail. Rockfall, Stallwalkin' Dude, Salutos Amigos. Rockfall won it. Salutos Amigos, Stallwalkin' Dude, and Palace.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld with you at Keeneland Racecourse, getting ready for that QE2 Challenge Cup this afternoon. Going to be a gorgeous day with temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. That may sound cool, but here at Keeneland it's going to be sunny. That sun will be shining brightly on my old Kentucky home, and that means it will be an outstanding day of racing. Should be a packed house on this Saturday afternoon, the second full weekend of racing as we edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, now just 20 days, 5 hours, and 42 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup. Want to remind you that on Sunday, October 18th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. And, of course, with $1 million on the line, you can bet that the top horses from all over the world will bring their A game. Wager on the early pick 4, guaranteed at $300,000. And the late pick 4, which will be guaranteed at $500,000. Woodbine will also be offering 20 set bet minimums on all trifecta, superfecta, pick 3, and pick 4 pools. The Pattison Canadian International comes up Sunday, October 18th, live from Woodbine, first post 1 p.m. For more information, visit CanadianInternational.com or follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. Time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
This is The Road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year for Horse of the Year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, guys, we spent a lot of time talking about various Breeders' Cup divisions at the beginning of this hour. Now we're going to take a look at a race that may or may not play into the Breeders' Cup picture. It's the Grade 3 Knickerbocker at Belmont this afternoon. Carries a purse of $200,000. Will go postward right around 519. And a big field, probably going to end up with about 10 horses in here. So, John, why don't we start with you on this one?
Yeah, there's a horse in there called Mexcoma that's a main track only in and looked like, as of yesterday, watching the races yesterday afternoon, and it was clear and sunny up there, so I assume that he's going to be a scratch. And that would leave 10, a very well-matched 10, I might add, for the most part. It's going to be one of those races, I think, where the favorite might be, you know, 2.5, 3 to 1 when they finally leave the starting gate. We can Christophe Clement has a horse called Middleburg, and they're number one. He's coming off of a win in the cliffhanger over at Monmouth Park, and with Joe Bravo, who's had a tremendous year this year, and really, really rides. He's a very underrated rider, I think, as far as especially on the grass. He seems to really, really ride well on the grass, and he's obviously been around a long time. As we remember last Saturday, he did win on Big Blue Kitten. And he's got a lot of patience and seems to really ride the grass well as far as judging pace. So I'm going to give Middleburg a chance in there. Grand Motion has a horse in there named Messi, a German bred, who's run a few times here in the United States and won a couple of lounge races. I'm not so sure today is going to be his day. But Bill Mott, obviously another excellent trainer that always seems to be have some nice grass horses, has a horse by Warfront named War Dancer, who is seems to be always be right there but doesn't want to win much. Out of 22 lifetime starts, he's won 4, but he's had 5 seconds and 4 thirds. So I'm not sure today's his going to be his day either, but I wouldn't be surprised that he's not in the mix at the end for getting a part of it. I think my top choice is going to be Shug's horse, Mr. Speaker. He's coming off a very, very nice race over at Laurel. He is picking up 6 pounds today. I don't know whether that's going to play into his into his race or not, but it's definitely, you know, when you start picking up that kind of weight going around two turns, it may make a difference, but I'm still going to use him on top, and that's Mr. Speaker.
And number nine, Mr. Speaker, 4-1 on the morning line under Jose Ortiz. Stevie?
The Travers winner, number 5, V.E. Day, seems to be just as at home on the turf as he is the dirt. And my selection will be number 5, V.E. Day for Jimmy Jerkins.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Michael, are you ready? You weren't expecting that, were you?
No. It's very interesting commentary, however, because V.E. Day has earned $930,000 on the main track. So maybe he is just as good on turf, and we haven't just seen it. But my pick here in the Knickerbocker will also be Mr. Speaker. Stalking style, ability to quicken. He won the Belmont Derby Grade 1 last year, beat Adelaide, who went on to become a Grade 1 winner after that. And now he has, coming into this, off the Commonwealth Cup Grade 2, again, just laid in third, close and handy, and quickened up well to win that. He's earned over $1 million. He's earned over $800,000 at Belmont on the turf. He's 3-7 there. And at 4-1 morning line, I think he represents good value. I think, you know, he really fits here. I don't think the additional weight will bother him. He's a good, strong horse, and a few extra pounds shouldn't be a challenge. The other horse, the two that John picked, the one Middleburg, consistent, he'll be right there. And then Messi is an interesting horse for Graham Motion. Throw out his last race. He is, you know, talented horse, fits here, and he can be in the mix for the trifecta.
And, Michael, yeah, V.E. Day has earned $900,000, most of that in the Travers. He has run once over the Belmont turf, going the distance a mile and an eighth. And, Michael, he won that day, so he went over course and distance.
Well, actually, he's run twice at Belmont on turf per the daily racing form.
Good job,
and,
Steve.
And he did win one of two.
This is why Castagnoli is not our researcher here on the network. Ponte, very quickly, who do you like?
Well, I Graham Motion told us Messi was ranked last time, and that's why he's shortening him up. He thinks he'll do better going a mile and an eighth. I'm going to use him. But I think the horse nobody mentioned that I really like is the defending champion, Legendary. He won this race last year, and he beat Up With The Birds and Mishawish, who are two pretty good horses. I think both of those might get some attraction in this race. So big second for him last time, and I'm going to take Legendary on top.
All right, we're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum right after this word from Gainesway.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow.
Gainesway stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by 4 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable, winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
All right, been a very busy show. Time to wrap this one up before we segue into our coverage of the QE2 Challenge Cup this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Stevie C., thanks for being here, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
That's it. Johnny?
Today's a typical fall day. Everybody needs to come out today. It's good for whatever you want to do. You know, if you want to rake leaves, come out here. It's a typical day today, and it should be a great day racing here.
Michael Hernan, happy to have you on board again, my friend.
Great to be here, and look forward to good, safe afternoon day of racing.
Yeah, should be wonderful. Guys, appreciate it. We'll talk to you here next week. Hernan, Gasper Castagnola will be back here on the Equine Forum. And
the three wise men.
Three wise men, yeah. And JT, just a couple of minutes here for you and I to kind of banter back and forth and recap what's happened here on the program. Josh Christian has gotten not only days, he's gotten a lifetime ban for making rude comments about my Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm considering throwing him into the Steeler fish tank at the house. My fish are ready.
Swimming with the fishes?
Yeah, swimming with the fish. I should tweet a picture of my Steeler tank and let people know where he's going to. I have 11 Steeler fish in there, by the way, for a full defense, and now they're getting a little bit rambunctious.
Yeah, well, unless you have piranhas in there, I think Josh might have the upper hand.
Well, I told you what I was going to do, right? The grand plan when I built the Steeler fish tank, which, by the way, looks like Heinz Field. I actually have a backdrop of Heinz Field, which I took pictures of when I was up there.
This is how sick he is, folks.
And then what I'm going to do, like when they play, it didn't, you know, when they play like the Chargers this weekend, right? I'm going to get some little powder blue feeder fishies, 11 of them. I'm going to throw them in the tank with my Steeler defense, and they're African cichlids, so they're very aggressive, and they're black and gold. And they're going to attack the little powder blue feeder fishies, and I'm going to wave my terrible towel.
It just gets worse. I didn't think it could get any worse.
What do you think?
I think it's a horrible idea.
When I'll wave my terrible towel when I throw Josh in the tank, too.
Yeah. You have no shot there.
All right, anyways, if you want to hear that interview with Josh, it's on the website. You can go back and listen. Our thanks to Bill Farish for being here in the first half of the program as well. Michael Hernan, Steve Castagnola, and John Gasper. And really been a lot of fun. And looking forward to next week and looking forward to this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, QE2, one of my favorite races. Going to be a great one this afternoon.
All right, thanks to everybody that participated in our poll question. And, of course, thanks to everyone for tuning in here to the Equine Forum this morning. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington, Kentucky studio. For Sean C., doing a great job with us on social media and here on site. For the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We will talk to you this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.